wonderful program of Chetna, the festival of awakening. This is a festival mainly for young girls from the age group of 15 to 30. And we really thankful to you for taking the time and coming today. Please excuse my voice because I've got, you know, cough. We just now saw a wonderful drama where we saw the faith and the simplicity of a cobbler. I would like to tell you about one more Brahmana who was living in a simple village of India at the banks of the river Ganges. He was a simple Brahmana with very, very few possessions. Most of his day he used to spend meditating and chanting and serving the Lord. He had such meager possessions that he used to wear, you know, Brahmanas, they wear kopins. Like how the sadhus, you must have seen, the sadhus, they wear kopins. And he had just two kopins, which one he used to wear and one he used to wash every day and dry. This Brahmana had a very serious problem. He was really faced with a serious problem, and his problem was unique. That every time he kept the kopin to dry, it used to be eaten up by rats. Quite a practical problem. You can imagine if you have only two pieces of cloth to protect yourself, to cover yourself, and if one is eaten up by rats, you can imagine it's quite a serious problem. So he was really in anxiety. So what to do about this rats? What is the solution to this? You know, he couldn't actually concentrate in his chanting. Every time his one eye was chanting and one eye was on his kopin, you know, drying in the sun. So he thought and he thought. Suddenly it struck him as he was chanting that, wow, I got it. If I just get a rat, I will just solve this rat problem forever. So he went to the market and got a cat. And for few days he was really happy because he could really concentrate on his chanting, because most of the work was done by the cat running around the rat and keeping the rat away from his kopin, the rats away from his kopins. So he was quite happy for some time. But after a few days he noticed that the cat was weak, having no energy to run around the rats anymore. And you know, he was noticing that again the rat problem will come again. So he was quite worried. Again his mind was disturbed. What should I do? Why is the cat so weak? Oh, the cat needs milk. I'm not providing any milk. I spend the whole day chanting and there's no time to feed the cat milk. Again a practical problem, right? So he was again disturbed. Then he thought, oh yes, where do you get milk from? Not the doodhwala, sorry. In a more simple setting, in the villages, you get milk from cows. We people living in cities, we think the doodhwala gets the milk. It's true, actually, in America, the children didn't know from where the milk comes from. Anyway, we know that the milk comes from the cow, right? So he thought, I should get a cow. That's the solution for my problem. And he got a cow. But along with the cow came another bigger problem. Who will milk the cow if he has to chant and give his time for, you know, spiritual activities? How will he get time to milk the cow, to feed the cat so that the cat is strong enough to chase the rats? Again a practical problem. So the villagers told him, why don't you get married? You'll get somebody to look after the cow who will give milk, then the milk can be fed to the cat, and then the cat will chase the rats, and your kopin will be safe, and then you can sit and chant the whole day. Wow, what a brilliant idea. See, it's simple, just get married. Poor soul. He didn't know what he's getting into. Nobody warned him. Nobody warned him what comes along with the wife. So there came the wife, and for some days everything was rosy and Everything was bright and simple. He was so happy. He had so much time. He got hot meals. In between his sadhana, he had time, somebody giving him hot meals. And somebody to wash his coffin. And both the coffins are safe. So he was quite happy for some time. Till one fine day, you know what happens when wife comes. Along with wife comes package deal. What's that? Children. Very soon, for some years he was happy, but then very soon there were children. And then he had faced a bigger problem, bigger practical problem. Because after the children, suddenly the wife changes. What are you doing the whole day there chanting? Who is going to get milk for the children? Who is going to get toys for the children? They are bored the whole day. And what about my sari? For the past 2 years I am wearing just these two saris. One I am washing, one I am drying and wearing the other day. How long will this continue? Go get a job. Whole day you are sitting and chanting. You think there is, we don't have any needs? I'm telling you, I want a sari, I want jewelry, I want toys for the children, I want to put them in a good school, I want this, I want that, I want this. Go get a job! Next day, our poor brahmana was seen hanging in out of a 9-5 train from Virar with a tiffin box under the hand. And he finally joined the rat race. The rat race. He joined the rat race. He began trying to get rid of the rats and poor thing, he became a rat. Sounds funny, na? He joined the rat race. But actually, we are all in the same situation, at least in the cities. We are all in this rat race, running to just get more and more and more. Last month, December 26, a very big disaster happened in India, right? India was struck by a disastrous tsunami, a huge tidal wave which destructed and killed so many property and so many people. But a much more destructive tsunami or a tidal wave has taken over all of us. And this tsunami is coming from the west. This tidal wave is washing over each and every individual in Bombay. At least the tsunami affected the people only in the coastline. But this tsunami, this tidal wave is taking over each and every person in the city. Each and every person in the town. Not a single man, woman or child is being spared. And what is this tsunami? What is this disastrous influence that is taking over all of us? Would you like to know? That is the tsunami of consumeristic culture. Sounds new, I'm sure. What is this consumeristic culture? And this consumeristic culture is coming from the West. Consumeristic culture is taking over the whole of India. Just close your eyes 1 minute and just try to imagine. When I say India or Bharat Varsha or Bharat Mata, what picture comes in your mind? Would you like to try this exercise? What kind of an image comes over in your mind when I say India or Bharat Varsha? Okay, anybody would like to share? Anybody would like to share what you saw, what you feel is the image that we have of our motherland, India? Anybody would like to share? Please share.
Mannered person.
not an Indian or a person, individual, I'm saying India. What does India stand for or what does it stand for? Do you want me to share what I get an image when I close my eyes? I see, when I close my eyes, India is a place, it's a land of dharma. It's a land of spiritual culture where I can see that the land and the cows are being worshipped. Isn't it? When you close the eyes, I get the scene of a nice field, a nice village where the people are self-sufficient, they grow their food in the fields, they have cows from whom they get milk, and they worship the cows as their own mother because it's giving them milk. Isn't it? That is our culture, isn't it? A self-sufficient society. That is what India stands for. Isn't it? Or it used to some years back. But all this whole scenario has changed over the past years. For thousands of years, India was under British rule and Mughal rule. For so many years, we were under foreign rule. We were dependent, we were not free. But they couldn't change or they couldn't shake the faith of the person, of a single person in India. They couldn't shake the spiritual culture or the spiritual faith. Isn't it? Do you agree? Till pre-independence, we could see that this rural-based, agricultural-based society in India was so strong, where spiritual culture was given more prominence over material culture or accumulating of things. Isn't it? Just 50 years back, till independence time. But what the British couldn't achieve in hundreds of years and which the Mughal couldn't achieve in thousands of years, in past 20 years, the television has achieved, isn't it? The past 20 years, our whole culture has been changed from a spiritual culture to a consumeristic culture. Now let's understand more clearly what is this consumerism which is taking over India. Consumerism is the strong urge, or the chronic urge to go on accumulating more and more goods, more and more amenities for our luxury. Aren't you seeing this in the society today? That people are just going on accumulating more and more goods, more and more amenities just for luxury. So many things which were considered as luxury, just few years, luxury items, like few years back, 10 years back, have now become necessities. Isn't it? Just few years back, or maybe 10, 20 years back, there was only two brands of cars in India. Isn't it? Maybe Fiat and Ambassador. These are the two main car brands we could see. But today you see the cars, with the globalization, with the opening of the markets, there's so many different companies of cars which we can get. Maruti, Skoda, and even Toyota, Mercedes, everything which we used to think are foreign cars are now available, right? And now the general, the propaganda that is going, unless you have a car, a person is not considered successful. A person is not considered successful unless you have a car. But do you think car, at one time it was a luxury item. We used to think, if we have cars, we can travel fast and we can go from place to place easily. But what do you think? What has cars got along with it? Has our lives become more simpler? Now when we drive out, we just go out of the house with a car and we are stuck first thing in a traffic jam. This culture, this vision that we had of India earlier, a simple village-based, agricultural-based India, does this ever happen at that time? Or in the Vedic times, we never read or heard about traffic jams, right? Traffic jam is such a horrible condition when you are stuck in a traffic. You can imagine if in the time of Vedic times, if there would have been a traffic jam, what would have happened? I would like to present a small example, in the Kurukshetra war, at that time, in the Vedic times, there were never any traffic jams or, you know, problem for traveling from one place to another. Right? Even Krishna in Dwarka, he had made a whole city for his devotees, and it seems there were millions and millions of people living in that city, but never there was a traffic jam. We never heard or read of a traffic jam in the Shastras. Suppose if there was a traffic jam, if Kurukshetra war would have taken place in this day of age, what it would be like? I would like to present a small mimicry item. So I'd like to present, this is a news reading. If somebody would read, news read. This is Sanjay TV. I would like to present the news for yesterday. Yesterday, the war, Kurukshetra war started, instead of 9:05, it started at 11:05 because of a great delay for Arjuna and Krishna to reach the battlefield. This delay was caused due to a severe traffic jam which took place just near Kurukshetra. This traffic jam was caused by a young girl driving a car, and along with her, while driving, she was speaking on a cell phone, and she was seemed to be having a real big fight, and just when she was talking on the phone, there was this accident, and that was the main cause of this traffic jam. This was the news from Kurukshetra direct. Thank you. So this is what would have happened if Kurukshetra war would have taken place at today's day and age of traffic jams. So we understand that cars, instead of a luxury, today has become a necessity. And to get the car or to get these material necessities, people are going to any extent. Another example of this is cell phones. All of us have cell phones. How many people here have cell phones? Majority have cell phones. But 10 years, just 10 years from now, before, nobody had a cell phone and life was going quite peacefully, right? Was it really needed at that time? Was there a great need? There was something called pagers, you know, just 10 years back. And it was really very good. It was simple. You had to just page the person and work was getting done. Business was going on as usual in India or in Bombay. But past 10 years, the market has been bombarded with such different varieties of cell phones, with such newer and newer features. And even in colleges, the young crowd, the young teenage crowd, is being totally swept away by this. Each person now, instead of asking, how are you? When we meet earlier, we used to talk about, you know, which is the latest cell phone which has come? My cell phone has got, you can even click snaps in that. My cell phone, I just saw an ad recently, we shrunk your TV. That was amazing. I didn't understand that ad for a long time. I was passing by that road so many times that I could never understand actually what it means. That means actually, you can see TV in your mobile phones. And you get the latest news in your mobile phones. So today, the conversation among people are just, which is the new car that you have got? You know, I have got this new cell phone. I've just disposed of my old and I've got this. This got better features and better this. So today, unless you have a cell phone in college, you are not a part of the hip crowd. Are you facing that today? If you want to be recognized, if you want to be part of the hip crowd in college, you have to have a cell phone in the hand. Sad it is, I know you are shaking your head, but that is the situation today. This is what I am speaking about, consumeristic culture. And what is this consumeristic culture driven by? It is driven by and it is pushed by the advertising industry, the media. Isn't it? We are being bombarded day in and day out. As soon as you switch on the TV, there are commercials. Earlier in the olden days, we used to watch Chitrahar. That was the most favorite part of this. And even there used to be a small break in between, and we used to get so irritated. You know, my gosh, it's disturbing us. But today, I think the programs are getting shortened up and the advertisements are becoming more, and everybody enjoys. We are like robots, you know, totally tuned on, you know, waiting for being fed. And these advertisements are what? They are just basically bombarding our mind with this consumeristic culture. Take this and your hair will be as good as Miss India. Wear this and you look as beautiful as Miss Universe. Just put this cream. And this is, they are just pushing on your consciousness dreams, you know, that you can reach up to that. You know, your consciousness is being bombarded. And that's what, even in America, I would like to just give you some statistics, because Americans, they really maintain very good statistics. But it's the same thing happening in India, so we can relate to it. But every time an American goes to a supermarket, a survey was taken in 1976, that average supermarket carried about 9,000 products, only 9,000. We also have in India, in Bombay especially, so many malls and supermarkets are coming up now, right? We are following the same footsteps of them. It carried only 9,000 products. But today, in America, more than 30,000, you know, products are being sold in supermarkets. So they are feeding on the people, you know, that just use more and more consumer products and you will be happy. Just use more and more, you fill your life with these luxury items and you will be happy. This is what the advertising industry is trying to impress on our minds. They are trying to say that your life will be simpler or it will be more easier. But we can see, we are analyzing each one individually, that instead of making it simpler, it's becoming more and more complicated. In fact, according to statistics, we are bombarded by estimated 16,000 commercial messages daily. As we are walking, we see billboards. As soon as we switch on the TV, we are getting commercial messages. So all this is affecting our consciousness. It's bombarding our consciousness with this notion that just go on accumulating more and more goods and you will become happy. Your life will be simple. But what do you think? Has cell phones made your life really simple? Once I just lost my cell phone, I mean just for 2 days, I just couldn't find it. And actually my life came to a standstill. Because all my phone numbers were in the cell phone. And then I realized that I have become so dependent on this cell phone that without that, I just cannot function. Isn't it? Isn't that what all of us are going through? And it has been even medically proven that prolonged use of cell phones can cause brain tumors. Have you know that? Does anybody know that? Everybody knows? Or it's something secret? It's not a secret. But still we use cell phones. Brain tumor? Not for me, sorry. For the person next door. So that's what, even though we know the harmful effects of these consumer products, still we go on using it. Isn't it? And also the recent MMS scandal, we have all read in the papers, it is so horrible. It is so horrible that this thing that started off as a luxury item, we have become so attached to it that we cannot live without it. And the problems, we thought it will make our lives simpler, but it has made it more complicated. In fact, the crimes are becoming more complicated. With these cell phones, you can do so many crimes. Our lives are becoming more complicated. Isn't it? Another example of this is the fashion world today. As she said, we are girls. We like to dress nicely. Isn't it? We like to dress nicely, we like to wear so many different types of clothes, and the fashion industry today is just sort of bombarding the young crowd today. And it just started since past few years, since Miss World and Miss Universe has come suddenly from India. Miss World, Miss Universe from India. Why 20 years back there was no Miss World from India? Suddenly they are coming up. How come? because the advertising industry, they are making use of this Miss India and Miss Universe and trying to sell their products to us, isn't it? How many ads you have seen where, you know, just take this, just wear this, just use this and you will be as beautiful as Miss India or Miss Universe. In fact, since Sushmita Sen won Miss Universe, since that time, even the young crowd, even the children are not being spared. There are so many children who are made to think that the perfection of life is if you become a model or a beauty queen. There is no harm in looking beautiful. There is no harm in looking beautiful. In fact, the Indian girls, Indian women are supposed to be the most beautiful. Isn't it? So just few years back, some years back, the beauty of Indian, the Indian beauty was seen in a beautiful sari. Sari is the emblem of beauty, of an Indian beauty, isn't it? But in Miss Universe and Miss India, I have seen that they have not even spared the sari. From any angle you see, it doesn't look like a sari. Sari is such a simple dress. There is no harm in looking beautiful, but you can always look beautiful the Indian way. But the problem is, the tsunami which has hit us from the west is making us feel that if you want to look beautiful, you have to look beautiful the American way. And what is that? Waistlines going down, necklines going down, top lines going up. I mean, that's the emblem of beauty that they are trying to portray. But is that real beauty? We have to understand that India is, the Indian women are respected and worshipped all over for the simplicity. Isn't it? By accumulating this cosmetics and accumulating this, using different types of cosmetics, can a person become beautiful? At least that's the propaganda, that you can become beautiful externally. But we have to understand what is real beauty from within. Beauty comes, as you say, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And the beauty is always from within, and that is reflected outside. Whereas the Western culture is that you make yourself beautiful externally. That's what they are saying. And it's taking over Bombay by storm, this kind of propaganda. In fact, I read an ad recently in the train. 54% of women in Bombay city, in their purses, there is half kg of cosmetics. Minimum of half kg. I mean, I don't believe that, or I don't know. I don't know whether you believe that, but that was the ad read. 54% of women carry about half kg of cosmetics in their bags. And then they are saying, Fizil ki lita poti chholo, roz khao vitamla. They mean to say that if you eat vitamla, you don't have to make your life complicated and, you know, try to look beautiful by accumulating so many cosmetics, this cream and that lotion and that, face packs. Of course, vitamla is good for health, but we are trying to get beauty from the heart. And the beauty of the heart, as we all know, is simplicity. Once the heart is beautiful, automatically you can be beautiful. So this is what is the consumeristic culture, which is slowly, slowly taking over the whole of Bombay. But what is actually, how can we get free from this consumeristic culture? This feeling that unless I have it, I will not be happy. And in fact, even the children, they are not spared. Even the children are being taken over. Unless I have this Barbie doll, in fact my daughter, somehow she's got such a liking for this Barbie doll. And Barbie doll, if you see from any angle, it doesn't look human to me. Nobody can have such long legs. You know, such long legs. It's totally out of proportion. But still, the children are also not spared by this propaganda, the advertising. That unless you have this toy, this Barbie doll or this video game, you will not be happy. And that's how they go on pestering and go on pestering the parents, that give me more and more and more. And still, I've never seen any child happy. After you get the toy, after some time, they want something more. Isn't it? And that's how it goes on and on. Now you have the Barbie doll, now I want dress for the Barbie doll, now I want makeup for the Barbie doll, I want this for, you know, the list is unending. That's how, you know, even we see that in our lives, we go on and on accumulating, just like this Brahmana in the story. He thought his life will become simpler and will become more happier, but then we just end up accumulating more and more and more without ever becoming satisfied. It's like a psychosis, and which this advertising industry, it really works on, you know. In fact, earlier, the advertising industry used to be only some creative people used to be. But now you see that the advertising industry has become so complex that they are psychologists, they are like psychiatrists, and they are finding ways and means how to affect your consciousness or affect your minds. They actually take control over your mind totally. And how is that? It's like they bombarded you with so many images. As I said, 16,000 commercial images, I mean messages in a day, if your mind is just going on and on seeing. So basically first you start imagining it. First you start imagining it. Oh, if I, now I imagine it, imagining it, and then I should have it. And once you start thinking, oh, I should have it, I should have it, I should have it. So actually I need it. Then your mind starts thinking, really, actually I need it. And after some time, your mind starts thinking that I'm ready to do whatever I like. I'm ready to do anything, but I just have to have that thing. It started off as I want it, then it ended as I need it. You understand the difference? You may want something. You may want so many luxury items. But where somewhere along the way, it becomes a need. And that's how your life becomes more and more complicated, because to achieve that thing, you are ready to do anything. And the credit card companies are making things more easier, isn't it? What are these credit cards doing? Whether you want it, whether you need it, or whether you have any money to buy it or no, we are ready to give you. Right? In 0% interest, we are ready to give you any amount of things. So a person, if he has a credit card, he thinks that I can buy anything I want. I can get anything I want without even thinking whether I have the paying ability or not. Isn't it? And there are so many different companies of credit cards nowadays. People have, you know, stacks of credit cards. But what are they doing? They are just accumulating things without even thinking whether I will ever be able to pay for it. So this is what is happening in India right now. Gone are the days of the Vedic culture that which we read in the Shastras. Srila Prabhupada, through his books, he has given us a world of information through our Shastras, and he has made it so simple for us to understand that how we can get free from this consumeristic, this accumulating kind of tendency, and try to reduce our needs and our wants and make our lives really simple. He gave us in his books a very simple mantra, simple living and high thinking. This is what our Vedic culture actually wants to give us. But on the other hand, on the contrary, what is today's culture trying to tell us? What is the today's modern culture telling us? High living and no thinking only. Forget about simple thinking. No thinking. That's what the credit cards, na. You go, you have a credit card, you won't think whether you have the bank balance or no. Oh, I want this jewelry. In fact, I saw an ad of a credit card company. I mean, a big billboard. And I see it every day. It shows a simple woman looking in the mirror with a nice magazine in front of her, and the magazine shows her neck with a beautiful diamond necklace on her neck. And below the caption it reads, why just dream of having diamond jewelry? Why just dream? You can have it. Just have this HSBC credit card and you can have it. So simple. If you see that billboard every day, if you are bombarded with this, then you will actually feel, yeah, forget about whether I can really pay for that diamond necklace or no. If I have a credit card in my pocket, I can buy it anytime. Isn't it? So where is the thinking? You are not thinking. High living and no thinking. That is what is going on today, isn't it? Everybody wants to live a high life. Live life king size. Nobody wants to live life ant size. Nobody wants to lead a very simple life. Isn't it? But the Vedic culture stands for this. Simple living, high thinking. Just like as we saw in this drama. So what does simple living, high thinking, what has Srila Prabhupada given us in his books? He has told us that by being simple, by reducing our needs, by reducing our wants, what can we achieve? We can achieve time for giving, for devoting to spiritual activities. Just like this Ramana in this earlier, he was so simple. He had so minimum possessions. He didn't have any craving to get more and more and more. So he had more and more time to devote for spiritual life. Isn't it? So he has given us a simple formula how to become really happy. Just by accumulating material things, we can never become happy in this world. In fact, it is shown that in America, the stress levels are increasing day by day, and even in India. Why is this mental stress increasing among the teenagers? In fact, 40% of teenagers are suffering from anxiety. And today, in America, they have all realized that this anxiety, this stress levels that we can see in society today is directly related to this consumeristic culture, where a person is going on and on and on just trying to accumulate material things for their satisfaction. But we read in Srila Prabhupada's books that materialistic things can never give us happiness. Why? Because we are spirit souls by nature. By nature we are not this body. We are spirit souls. And for spirit souls, we have to understand that only spiritual things can give us really happiness. That's why Srila Prabhupada has given us a simple formula of chanting, dancing and feasting. This is what all of the Shastras are saying. Dovetail your time and energy in spiritual activities. By becoming spiritual, we can automatically see that we are getting more and more contented, we are getting more and more satisfied in life. So let us understand what is this simplicity in spiritual life. What does simplicity actually mean? Simplicity means trying to reduce our material needs and trying to be satisfied in whatever condition that God is giving us, whatever things that God has given us, to be satisfied in that. That is what is simplicity. Just as we saw in the life of that cobbler. He was a simple person. He was satisfied with whatever God has given him. That doesn't mean that we should become poor. That doesn't actually mean that. What is the meaning of being satisfied in whatever God has given us? As you can see in the life of a very great personality, you know, called Sridhar Kolavecha. He was, many years back, he was a simple Brahmana. He was, whole day he would spend in spiritual activities just chanting the names of God, and he would live at the banks of the river Ganges, and half of the, whatever money he used to earn, he was a banana leaf seller actually. He had a small business where he used to sell banana leaves. And whatever money he got, half of it he would spend in spiritual activities. He would spend it in worshipping Mother Ganges. And half of it he would spend it for his livelihood. And he had very few possessions. And he was leading a very, very simple life. But he was so happy and he was so contented. Because most of his time he would spend in spiritual activities. So Srila Prabhupada has given us a very simple method, simple process. By chanting, dancing and feasting, we can lead a very, very happy, contented and simple life. Chanting is so simple, even a child can do it. In fact, as soon as the kirtan starts, all the children you see, they start clapping their hands. Why? Because they are simple at heart. they don't have these cravings and these wants and needs, and their minds are very, very simple. That's why as soon as the chanting starts, they become so happy that they start clapping their hands and they become, you know, joyful and blissful. So this process of chanting is very, very simple. Is it difficult to just chant Hare Krishna? And you know, it is so simple. So the process Srila Prabhupada has given is so simple, but the problem is that because our lives have become so complicated, we are not able to appreciate even the simple process. We think that how can attaining God or understanding God be so simple? How can it be so simple as just chanting? Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. What the Shastras say, that in the olden times, in fact in the Satyuga, there is a shloka in the Shastras which say, Krite yad dhyayato Vishnu, Tretayam yajato makhay, Dwaparam paricharyayam, Kalau tad hari kirtana. Krite yad dhyayato Vishnu. In the Satyuga, the process was so difficult to attain God. You had to actually sit in meditation, dhyayato Vishnu. They used to sit in meditation for thousands of years. You must have heard of Vishwamitra Muni. He had meditated on the Lord for 60,000 years. At that time actually the lifespan of the people were also thousands of years. So of that 60,000 years you have to sit in meditation. And in today's day and age, do you think we can sit in meditation even for 5 minutes without any disturbance? As soon as you try to close your eyes and try to meditate, your eyes will close and you try to sleep, right? After coming back from college, you are tired, traveling bus, train, taking so much train, your body is always tired. So in order to do a spiritual activity of meditation also, it's very difficult, isn't it? Tretayam yajato makhay. In Treta Yuga, to attain God, you had to do big, big sacrifices or yagyas. They used to do big, big sacrifices. You know what is sacrifice? Even today you must have seen some places they still do sacrifices. But at that time, pure ghee was available. Because in sacrifices you have to put pure ghee. But today you get all adulterated ghees. So even that process is very, very difficult. Where will you go and do yagya? You will not get a place to even put a, you know, and if you start the fire, they will put you in jail. Now why are you starting a fire? It is very dangerous in the city to start a fire. So there are, it is not practical in this day and age to even do yagyas. Dwaparam paricharyayam. It means that in Dwapar Yuga, to attain God, people used to go to the temples and worship the Lord 6 times. They used to go for darshan 6 times a day. And they used to worship the Lord with very elaborate paraphernalia. In a very, very elaborate way. But can we find time today even to come to the temple and take the darshan of the Lord? Forget about coming 6 times, even once. Maybe once in a month or once in a week. But in Dwapar Yuga, that was the way to attain God, God realization. But in Kali Yuga, seeing our condition, seeing the city life that we have, Krishna has already made it very, very simple. Kalau tad hari kirtana. Just by chanting the names of God, just by chanting the names of Krishna, we can achieve the same result as what the yogis used to attain in Satyuga and Treta Yuga by doing sacrifices and by going to temples and worshipping the Lord in an elaborate way in the Dwapar Yuga. That same result can be achieved. This is the mercy of our acharyas, that they have made this process so simple. In fact, it has become more simplified by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That just by chanting the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Was it difficult? Just put your hands up and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is so simple that even a child can do it. The next is more exciting. Dancing. Everybody loves to dance, isn't it? Especially young girls. And in today's hip culture, everybody wants to dance, but to dance where they want to go? To pubs and discotheques, isn't it? Everybody loves to dance. But what is the scene in these pubs and what is the scene in these discos? Is it a very peaceful, simple, nice feeling you get when you go there? No. It's highly complicated, isn't it? Dancing is such a simple process which each and every person loves to do it. Nobody has to force you to dance. If you just have good music, good kirtan, anybody would feel like dancing, isn't it? In fact, children are the first ones. They disappear during lectures, but during kirtans they suddenly appear and they start dancing. Because their hearts are so simple, isn't it? Chanting, dancing, and the last one is more exciting. Feasting. And it's more pleasurable. And it's the most simplest thing. Nobody has to teach you how to eat, isn't it? We came out of the womb, immediately we started eating, isn't it? First thing is you learn to eat. Nobody has to teach you how to eat. And it's not a serious, complicated process, isn't it? All these three, chanting, dancing and feasting. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the West, to the Americans, he is so great that he managed to change the Americans and taught them Indian culture, and we are getting so influenced by the American culture that we are totally Americanized now. You cannot make out the difference, isn't it? But he managed to even change the Americans, and he taught them the simple way of life. And how he attracted them? By the simple process of chanting, dancing and feasting. This is a spiritual formula which he used to change the hearts of these Americans, these hardcore Americans who were totally brought up in this consumeristic culture. That means we still have hope, isn't it? Though we are totally neck deep, we are neck deep now, it's too difficult to get out of it. We cannot throw our cell phones, throw our cars away and get back to bullock carts. I know I'm not trying to be unrealistic. Be realistic, we are neck deep into it. But at least we can learn by principle what Srila Prabhupada and our Acharyas want to teach us. Be simple, keep your needs simple. But for what? The goal is so that we can dedicate more of our time and energy for spiritual activities. Isn't it? That is what our Acharyas are teaching us. Isn't it? To be modern is a fashion statement now. Let's make simplicity our fashion statement. Let's make simplicity our goal. Let's make simplicity our motto. That by being simple in heart and by our appearance, we will be able to attract Lord Krishna's mercy. Just like we saw in the drama of Brahmana and the cobbler, by the simplicity that the cobbler shown by his, he had this simple nature. That's why he could attract the mercy of the Lord. So let us decide today, whom do we want to attract? Do we want to attract by being part of this hip culture, by being mod? Whom are we going to attract? We may at the most attract the opposite sex. That's all we can attract by being externally trying to keep up with this hip culture. But if we be simple at our heart, if we make simplicity our motto, make simplicity our real fashion, then whom are we going to attract? We are going to attract none other than Lord Krishna himself. And if we attract Krishna, then what else do we need? Isn't it? We will really get true happiness just if we realize that we can attract Krishna's mercy. And for that, we have to try to become simple, not just externally. Externally is the least. Externally we might become simple, but internally is more important. We have to make our minds and our hearts simple. We have to understand that whatever God has given us is, be satisfied in that and be happy with whatever God has given us. And not just simply go on craving for more and more and more. So this is what I would wanted to convey to you, that simplicity of the body, simplicity of the mind, simplicity of the heart, this is the only thing by which we can attract Lord Krishna's mercy. So let us keep that goal in our mind. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions? If you have, maybe I could try to answer.
I just want to know what is spirituality.
Huh?
What is spirituality? Like, I heard it many times, but I don't know what is spirituality.
Today is the first time you have come for this program?
This is for the second time.
Second time, Aja.
Because many people have asked me, I have used this word, that spiritual, but I don't know.
Yeah, this word spirituality is very badly being misunderstood to religiosity. People think that religious and spiritual is one and the same. As soon as I say, as soon as you say the word religious, what comes to the mind? Hindu, Christian, you know? That's what, you know, as soon as you say religious, this is the thing which comes in your mind. But actually, being Hindu, being Christian, or belonging to any religion is not necessarily being spiritual. There is a big difference. Hinduism or Christianity or Muslims, these are different religions, and it is pertaining to our body. It is just relating to our body. To understand spirituality in the true sense, you have to first understand, who am I? First of all, we have to understand, who am I? Am I this body, or am I something higher than that? Bhagavad Gita gives us this knowledge that you are something higher than this material body which we can see in the mirror. When you see in the mirror, you can see your body, isn't it? But Bhagavad Gita gives us this knowledge that you are something beyond this material body, and that is spirit soul. You have heard of the word soul, spirit soul, isn't it? So from Bhagavad Gita we understand that I am spirit soul, not this material body. So spirituality means to understand the constitution, your real constitution, your real constitutional position, or your real existence as the spirit soul. As soon as you understand that I am spirit soul, immediately the whole understanding changes. If you are the spirit soul, you can naturally not be this body. In this body, you may be a Hindu, you may be a Christian, you may be a human being, you may be a man or a woman, right? Externally, to this body. But as soon as you understand that you are a spirit soul, part and parcel of God, then immediately the whole understanding changes, isn't it? So spirituality means to actually understand the spirit soul, your existence as the spirit soul, and to understand what is your duty on the spiritual platform, or what are you supposed to do in your spiritual platform, on the spiritual platform. Once you understand that you are a soul, the quality of the soul is spirituality. Once you understand that you are a spirit soul, then that is the meaning of spirituality. Any more questions you would like to, if you don't have? Microphone? Please take the. Please take the mic, na? Everyone can hear.
Right from my childhood, you know, I'm a very loving person and a friendly person. But I find many of people, you know, whenever I'm too simple, like either they comment, you know, she's trying to be too sweet, or sometimes I'm cheated by people, or, you know, they either misunderstand, or, you know, I'm cheated or mistaken by somebody. Many things it happens. So sometimes, you know, our heart feels that, oh, why are we simple? Then we should be little diplomatic. Because when we are simple, many a times we are either cheated or we are made fun of. So that in that way, sometimes I am very depressed, you know. So I just feel how to be exactly simple. Because So today's world is very corrupt and very diplomatic and simple people ke liye ye jagah bilkul means bahut hi acha hai, aisa maine kahungi, because you can't be really simple, you know.
Definitely, I agree with you. This material world is not a place for simple people. That's why I would like to invite you to come join our world, the spiritual world, where simple people are really glorified and simple people are really wanted. So I think you will be best, you will feel more welcome here. This place is for simple people. As I told you, whom do we want to attract? These people of this material world who are here, there, gone tomorrow, your friends who are in school, are they still asking you now?
No.
Or your friends in college, are they still talking to you now?
No.
So these people are just going to go, come and go. But whom do we want to attract? By being really simple at heart and being simple externally as well as internally. Our goal is totally different. We want to please only God. We just want to please Krishna. We want to attract God. We want to attract God's mercy. So, we will definitely encourage you to be simple. But I'm sure you will face a lot of problem in the material world. Because this material world is no place for a gentleman. That's what Srila Prabhupada used to say. It's not a place for a gentleman or woman. Yes, I agree that you have to be little teda only, you know. And people who are teda and who are more complicated and who are more diplomatic and who, try to put on a show which you are not, such people are glorified. But it's the complete opposite here. Here means, I mean in the spiritual world. As soon as you think that I want to make my goal of life to be spiritual, I want to be spiritual, to serve Krishna, to please God, I want to know about God, at once the whole meaning of simplicity changes. The whole this changes. So you are always welcome here, and as you start coming to this temple and as you make friends among devotees, you will understand that how being simple is so rewarding, it is so satisfying, and you will truly experience happiness in the real sense. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more question? Oh, chits. Okay, after that question.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, it is said that people who don't have money cannot buy happiness. So whenever I try explaining them that money cannot buy happiness, they always put forward this famous statement that people who don't have money, they cannot never experience happiness. So what should I really, explain them that money just cannot buy happiness? Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually the statement is that people who don't have, I'll just remember the statement. Yeah, people who say that money cannot buy happiness don't have any. This statement, and they say that this is a very famous statement.
They are trying to say that money can buy happiness.
Yeah,
and if you think that money cannot buy, that means you are not happy.
Yeah, actually it's a very famous statement, in every reader's digest or anywhere you find this statement. That the people who say that money cannot buy happiness don't have any. So, several times they put forward this statement. And I am just, not blank exactly, but I just don't know the perfect, exact answer. I can, no short answer, very satisfactory answer I can give them.
Money cannot buy happiness.
Money can buy. I mean, they put forward this statement. And they try to defend.
You ask them, no? You feel money can buy happiness, then where is happiness sold? You ask them. Money can buy happiness, they feel. If without money you cannot buy happiness, or money can buy happiness, they feel, then you ask them, seriously, tell me, where can you buy happiness? Where have you bought the happiness? Happiness cannot be bought by this money, by notes, by dollars, by bills. Happiness is a state of the heart, it's the state of the mind. Happiness is not which... Money cannot buy happiness. In fact, this is, I have downloaded from a site, from which is from America, the site is from in America, and they are realizing now that money cannot buy happiness. Maybe this you must have heard, read in India. This is a general understanding now, that unless you have money, you cannot be happy. If that is the case, you ask them, why is there the greatest suicide rate, the highest suicide rate among the millionaires? Have you ever heard of a poor farmer, nowadays even farmers are a poor, hathgadi wala jo hai na, committing suicide? What is the meaning of suicide? Suicide means a person is so fed up with life that voluntarily he is taking death. He wants to end his life. So why are millionaires dying? You ask him just this simple question. If you feel that money can buy happiness, then no millionaire should die. Isn't it? Anybody can refute that? I mean, you understand that? That statement, the fact that we can refute this statement by saying that, if you say that person who has got no money is not happy, then the billionaire should be the happiest people on earth, isn't it? You just ask him one question. If you feel like that, then no millionaire should ever commit suicide. I think that speaks it all. Period. Isn't it? That explains it all. That means that money, if you have lot of money, you may have stacks of notes in the this. But still, if you are, you may be having the most beautiful, 7-course dinner in front of you, but if you have a cancer in your stomach, will you be able to enjoy that food? That means you, whereas a bhikari on the road, he may be having 2 rotis in front of him, and he is really hungry, that 2 rotis will satisfy him, isn't it? The rich people, they have got so much money in their banks, but to take, to sleep, they need pills. Antidepressant pills, or which sort of gives them sleep, makes them go to sleep. If they are happy, why do they need to go to sleep? I mean, take medicines to take to go to sleep. The poor man on the street, he hits the floor, hard rock, and he goes to sleep. So if you go to see, happiness is a state of mind. It cannot be bought by money or by any material goods. That's what is the lecture all about. I've tried to emphasize on this point, that just by accumulating material goods, luxury items, is not that you will become really happy in life. It will just make your life more and more complicated. So this one answer, that if that's what you, if you want to, you can ask this one question, then that all rich people, nobody should ever commit suicide then, if they are the happiest people. Any other question? There's any other question? Please. Yeah, give the mic.
Actually, I had attended a lecture of in Wednesday, right? There's a lecture at Ayyappa Mandir at Borivali. So I attended a lecture over there, and mostly over there, Guruji, or I can say Prabhuji, comes from Mira Road. But that day some other Prabhuji had come to give lecture. So it was not related to Bhagavad Gita, but he just gave a general basic lecture. So in that he had given a very practical example of the difference between the body and the soul. That is, he had said that, how can you differentiate between your body and your soul? If a watch is kept near you, would you say it is I watch, or would you say it is my watch? So it is naturally, you will say it is my watch. Why? Because it is different from you. It is a separate entity when compared to you yourself. Similarly, when you have, you say body, you say it is I body, or do you say it's my body? We would naturally say it's my body, because that shows that the body and your soul are two different things. What you're saying, my body, whose is it? Yeah. Finally, that whose, the person itself, is different, the soul and the body. But then, I tried to write this in an article of my college magazine. But what my few friends asked is, even for soul, we say it is my soul. We don't say it is I soul. That is what they contradicted. So that time I had no answer to it, I was a bit confused myself. But I know it is two different separate entities, but I couldn't answer to them at that moment, I was like, in college, I was like, okay, I cannot answer to it. I stopped. Then also I tried to say something or the other, but not a perfect answer.
That is just the English language that they are using, my soul. But we are trying to stress on them that there is an entity beyond this material body. There is one entity, one power or one energy which is beyond this material body, which is different from this material body, which is existing. And that is your real identity. Your identity is not related to the body, your identity is related to that entity or energy which is beyond the material body. This is just a play of English language, just because I am saying that my body, my hand, my eye, that way my soul also. It's just English language, but you try to say that, try to understand what we are trying to explain to you. That spirit soul or that spirit entity is your true entity. That is you, not your true entity. That is you. You are that spiritual entity which is beyond this material body. Who is like an external observer who sees this body as my body and every part of that body belonging to that entity. So that's why you explain it in this way. Thank you very much. Thank you for taking your time out and coming for this Chetna festival. I would like to announce a very wonderful event which is going to take place from February 12th at Cross Maidan. We are going to celebrate, it's called the Prabhupada Festival, and it's an anniversary. It is a 9-day festival from 12th to 20th, where all of you all are invited. It is going to be a program from morning to evening, so whenever you can find time, the whole event schedule is given down, so you can read, and whenever it is possible, please do attend these programs, because we will be having such wonderful sannyasis and, you know, Prabhupada's disciples coming and giving wonderful lectures there and seminars. So all of you can make use of that. Please come. Hare Krishna.
So I would like to thank Mataji for explaining so expertly and lucidly about how we can be simple and how we can adopt the principle of actually being